We'd be in like Dickheads Quarterly. That would be our magazine for women who curse like men should curse. Dickheads Quarterly. That comes out every month.
Every month, but it's quarterly?
Yeah. Just like GQ.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Here I am. I'm at the gym. Let me set the scene for you.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me tell people that we're about to have the week in Bateman. And Jason Bateman is an actor who we respect.
Yeah.
We think he's decent.
That's right.
We are in no way sexually attracted to this
man. And we don't love him either.
No, we don't love him. But we think he's a nice guy. And
he's decent.
He deserves to be talked about. So Katie's got a tidbit here that she's going to share with us.
Yes. So I'm at the gym and I take my rightful place in the weight room.
Okay.
To find my spot to work out in next to the magazine stand.
Okay. I'm thinking the waiting room. But you work out in the gym.
Area?
That's hardcore.
Yeah. So the magazine, lifting my weights, and lo and behold, magazine stand, Jason Bateman staring right back out.
What magazine? Essence?
GQ.
Women's Wear Daily? GQ.
GQ.
Okay.
And
is he on the cover of GQ?
He's on the cover.
Wow. Is that what guys want to see on the cover of GQ? I thought GQ was a little... Was he fully clothed?
He was fully clothed.
Okay. Was he wearing blue? So let me see the picture.
So look at the picture here. So we've got him...
What in the sand?
We've got him. He's doing a spit take.
Okay.
So, but he looks nice. He's got like a turtleneck, a mock turtleneck on.
Katie's saying he looks nice, but I'm seeing someone who looks like had a turtleneck painted onto them.
Basically, and it's a very fitted blazer and white pants.
Ooh, this is terrible.
Then, this is another one, and I will say that we got a note from one of our other listeners,
okay.
Eric H.
Oh, what does he have to say?
He said he looks like a young Dick Van Dyke in this picture.
Oh, yeah, he kind of, wow, that's not a lot of mystery in the crotch area.
No,
though.
Not at all.
I guess that cleanse worked out.
A blazer, a shirt. No, it's a shirt and then a sweatshirt over that. And then the blazer and then the jeans that are extremely
Wow, he's
fitted.
Actually wearing like three outfits and the jeans are spray painted on.
Right, boat shoes and then a hat at a jaunty angle.
I'd like to say that there's Red Bull in the picture. Also, as well on the floor, which is weird.
It's a nod to Hey You Know It, because we drink Red Bull.
We more certainly do. Whoa, on the back, he's wearing a high water suit, and he's got one foot exposed.
Yeah, one shoe on, no sock.
Yeah, and he's got a farmer tan on the foot.
Yeah.
Quite nice. Wow. This makes me question GQ. This is like a fashion spread with a man that I don't think is that fashionable.
And I...
Really? You know what I'm saying?
That's right. He's not known for his fashion. He's always with the blue shirt and the khaki pants.
He's veered away from that. It didn't work.
And then it goes on here. It says, most interesting resume in Hollywood belongs to Jason Bateman.
As written by his publicist.
Yeah. His email says here, twistedstraightman@gmail.com.
Really?
Yeah. It's right there.
Wow. He's crying out for help.
And then his Skype handle is Born to Bluth.
Oh.
And then there's a phone number.
Are we supposed to get in touch with him?
I don't know. I guess
so.
Care?
I bet you he's the kind of guy who could put his social security number out there and people are just like, you know what, forget it.
Yeah.
Not interested. Not interested at all.
Well, he said objective. He has his education. Not much under education.
Really? He's not a Rhodes Scholar? Like Bill Clinton and Dolph Lundgren?
The bulk of his studies were done with Silver Spoons co-star Ricky Schroeder on the set.
Oh, a mental giant. Rick Schroeder. What happened to him?
This isn't about Rick Schroeder.
I know. But I'm just wondering what happened to Rick Schroeder. He did that awful remake of the Michael Crichton movie where they're washing their hands all the time.
But he was in one of
Strain.
Then he was on in a procedural show. I don't know.
And that's just the end of the road.
Right.
Procedurals.
Okay. But it goes on about his skills directing. At age 18, he directed one episode of The Hogan Family,
which we covered.
Right.
That folded.
And then another skill is Skyping. And he says, I will Skype the shit out of you. I will fucking Skype your ass.
Wow. Yes. That's very aggressive. You know who else can Skype? My mom.
Yeah.
She's very good at Skyping as well.
Another skill of his is reaction shots. As Michael
Wild
Bluth.
Takes.
Uh-huh. As Michael Bluth in Arrested Development elevated his signature move as an actor. Call it affectionate disdain to the level of performance art.
Mm-hmm.
The character, he says, is written as very disgusted with his family. But he says, and my instinct was to be a little nastier and a little darker. But the show's creator says, don't forget, he loves these people. You know, So it's less of that fucking guy is my brother-in-law. It's more of a naive fascination with them. Like, man, how did I end up in this family?
Really? I always interpret that look as like, help, someone get me out of here. Please.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's too late. The moment is past. No one's coming.
Another skill he says he has is talk show hosting.
Really?
He's never been on he's never hosted any.
But he, you know what? He's putting it out there to the universe.
Yeah. he's using the secret.
Jason Bateman show.
He's using the secret on his resume.
He has a vision board. It is a picture of Jimmy Kimmel with the head cut off and his head posted on. That's what he sees for himself.
He does. He said, that's so funny that you say that.
Is that
because
what he says?
He says in 20 years when the girls go to college, meaning his daughters, mm-hmm. not when girls in general go to college.
When like women can go to college.
Like in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
I can finally move to New York, which is what I've always wanted to do.
Okay.
To be closer to us, probably.
No one's even going to know who the hell he is. They're going to be out of the way.
And then, you know, so in 20 years, he'll be 64, he says, to host a talk show. Then it would be a fun way to do the last bit.
Really?
Of his life. He wants to do.
So he wants to host from 64 until just the end. The last day.
Okay. Yeah, like a Regis kind of style. That's what he's looking for.
Really?
And then,
a tall order. Do you know what it takes to become a host of a show? I mean, you've got to have a lot of personality.
A ton of personality.
And you got to be a player, too.
Yeah.
I don't think he's either.
And you have to have a lot of back and forth business going on.
Yeah. Who wants to get interviewed by him? Not me. I mean, I would, but I wouldn't enjoy it. I'd go on the show. But
you wouldn't enjoy an interview with him?
I think I would just be looking at him like...
You wouldn't watch a show? You'd watch the show.
We don't watch his movies. Why would we do watch too.
Well,
show?
We will when they come on.
when they
make their way into our houses.
Yeah, on Netflix. When it's on a Sunday night, I just can't be bothered to move.
Okay. And another skill he has is urine sword fighting. I didn't even know that was a skill.
Wow, I'm not sure. That sounds like a bathhouse skill, if you know what I'm saying.
It says, that's something I like to do in every interview, a little bit of urine sword fight. And I'll kick your ass, too.
Urine sword. What kind of interviews is he talking about? This is a men's magazine.
This is a men's magazine, and I notice with men's magazines, there's a lot more cussing.
Yeah.
A lot more who cares attitude.
But there's a lot of cursing that we just don't get. Maybe that's the men's part of it.
That's
the gentleman's part. Of the gentleman's quarterly.
The cursing?
Yeah. Cursing that no one understands. Urine sword fighting?
Yeah.
There's a lot nastier. This is what I'm saying. If this is him being vulgar, please. We probably are more vulgar on the show.
I know, right?
Than God. Urine sword fighting. First of all, piss, you know, use piss. That's a little more.
Yeah.
Incendiary.
Yeah, right. Urine. Not the urine. What are you, a doctor, Jason Bateman?
Yeah, it's a urine penis combat zone is what he engages in. Good Lord, Jason Bateman. Oh, that's the gentleman part.
Yeah, I guess.
We'd be in like Dickheads Quarterly. That would be our magazine for women who curse like men should curse. Dickheads Quarterly. That comes out every month.
That's right. Every month, but it's quarterly?
Yeah. Just like GQ.
And thanks, Eric H., for saying, hey, very Dick Van Dyke. And also giving us a heads up to the article.
Yeah, thanks very much. So I want to know, do we have, and I feel like we do have some listener mail.
We do.
I love listener mail. I'm so happy we're getting it. Oh, and by the way, we just wanted to say to Shirasaurus. Shirasaurus's podcast is Chonila. And if you guys are not listening to Chonila, you should be. They're an interracial couple in Canada. And they talk about all different kinds of things after their kids go to bed. So check them out on iTunes.
Yeah, they're really great. There's like a ruckus going on in the Hey You Know It studio hallway.
There's a party going on right here.
All right. This one is from Michael F.
Okay.
In the bleachers. He writes this, hey, just reading U.S. Weekly today, and I noticed everyone's favorite, Olivia Wilde.
Oh, my God. You know what? I just saw the incredible Burt Wonderstone with Steve Carell and Steve Buscemi, and I didn't realize that Olivia Wilde was a romantic lead until the very end when she pulled her ponytail back and revealed that massive eight head.
Yeah.
She's actually good. Now I like her.
Now you like her?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Even without a head. So go ahead.
Okay, because before we talked about her and said she had a five head.
Yeah.
Not a four head.
I upped it to eight, but her acting quality is also up to eight.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so she's getting
very funny.
Hey, You Know It upgrade.
Yeah.
And so Michael also continues to say, thought you'd enjoy it. Oh, and I have a discount celebrity pick. I'd go Jessica Biel as the A-lister and Ellie Larter as the CD listener. Love the show. I went and I looked up those two ladies.
Okay, what do you think?
And I have them, and I'm going to give them some proper
props.
proper props.
Some mad props.
And some time. I know we have another discount celebrity for today, but yeah. in an upcoming show, I'm going to do
we'll
that.
We'll definitely use as that, a yeah. discount. Thank you for doing our work for us. Thank you very much. Who was that?
Yes, Michael F.
Michael F.
And get back on that email and send us a mailing address, and we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass.
Drink it in good health.
Yes. This is from Profess LCH.
Yes.
Yes, who we've heard from before. Professor. Yes. Professor writes to us and says, Hey, you know it. I'm glad to hear you give some love to Gabriel Byrne. He is a favorite of mine, and I fell hard for him in treatment and decided to find his other work and see as much as I can. OMG, he is such a man.
Nice.
The texture, the nuance, the depth, the grit. Those lads from Ireland, yes.
Wow, that's very complimentary. We like him, too.
Yeah, no, we kind of really liked him after our celebrity discount we did.
Yeah, we compared him with Daniel Bighead Day-Lewis. And while his head rose
and
to
we
the
don't,
top,
we don't
Gabriel
mean it,
Byrne.
His forehead, either.
Yeah. Gabriel Byrne is awesome.
All right. Profess LCH goes on to say, I need to see more of him. I'm hoping someone in Hollywood decides to bring you up on those discounting and get a superb bang for their buck.
Nice. We do, too.
Yeah, right? As he brings it with no pretense, angst, and edge. Huzzah. Top of the morning to you, indeed.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Awesome.
And again, I think you get a shot glass, too.
Yep.
Again.
Sure do.
Email us.
Email us again.
And we won't keep your address on file.
No.
Throw it away afterwards.
We don't have a file. We have a circular file. More email? Sweet.
This one is called Gaze in Space.
Okay. Oh! Because we mentioned on a previous podcast that they're trying to send a married couple out into space. And I put forth that maybe it would be easier for two gay men to share a space. Because it seems like, in my experience, that two gay men have no problem sharing a small studio.
Yeah, because they're going out to space. They're going to Mars. It's a 501-day trip.
Yeah.
And they're not even going to land. They're just going to kind of go there and come back.
Go there and come back, yeah.
And that's it. And they want a couple. And so Chriso says, the reason a gay male couple won't work on that Mars mission is because while we may be good at sharing small spaces, most of us are in open relationships.
Okay. I hadn't thought of that.
Right. Right? Yeah. You won't want to be in that shuttle when those queens log on to Grindr or Scruff.
Or Manhunt.
And see that there are zero men within however many light years.
Okay, so it's not going to work.
It'll be a gay outer space who's afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Oh, my God.
Who's afraid of Virginia Woolf really quick.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Yeah. Now, two lesbians, that would work. Many of the lesbian couples I know can nest like there's no tomorrow.
Now, do we have to provide quilting materials and cats for the lesbians, or can they just go on their own, Chriso?
I think they could probably make their own.
Yeah, they can craft them out of outer space.
Yeah.
They'll be crocheting stuff out of dark matter in no time.
Right.
Thank you very much
Thank
for getting
you.
Back to us. We put it out there. We asked.
We asked. And so, Chriso, send us your mailing address, and we're going to send you a Hey You Know It shot glass.
Yeah. And drink it. You can drink it in good health with your open relationship partners.
Right.
Thank you. So we are very privileged today to have Advice on Advice, which is a segment where we take advice from the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
Yeah. And we improve upon it by giving advice on that advice, hence Advice on Advice. So today, we've had a listener send in some advice on advice, and after we read it, we're going to give some advice, but they also should send us their address so we can send them a shot glass.
Yes, S.E.B., even though this S.E.B.
is collecting shot glasses.
That's right, and we're happy to...
S.E.B. is going to have like a Hey You Know What shot glass party.
That's right, and you could send us your address again, because again, we don't keep them on file.
No, we don't, so send it back.
Send it, and we'll give you one.
Yeah, we're not joking about that.
And this starts out, I know married friends like this, and it says, hello, First Ladies, great St. Patty's Day's St. Patty's Day podcast.
Mm-hmm. And First Ladies, I am the Michelle Obama podcasting, whereas Katie is the Hillary Clinton.
That's right. Yeah. I wonder if cabbage lips and underpants,
that's also us.
Those are our Gaelic names.
Yeah. I'm Underpants O'Neill, and Katie is Cabbage Lips O'Reilly.
That's right. Wonder if we can use a sadly funny article for advice on advice.
Sure. We'll use anything.
Thanks. Thanks for the show, as always. S.E.B.
Okay. Hit us with it.
This is from Dear Abby. So
oh,
classic.
My God. Dear Abby is a classic.
Yeah. I've been married 30 years and have raised 4 children to adulthood. I recently found out my husband has been having an affair with a prostitute from a strip club.
That's not an affair, but go ahead. Are you sure it's a prostitute from a strip club and not just a stripper lady?
Okay. He paid all her living expenses and promised to marry her. When she was 26, started, he is 56.
Okay.
He told her his wife had run away with another man and he was divorced.
Wow.
When I confronted him, he lied.
So how long has this affair been going on?
Let me tell you.
Okay.
He wants to continue living together and pretend nothing happened. He went to counseling and quit. Then he went to a psychiatrist who diagnosed him with a mixed personality disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a real thing, by the way.
Yeah.
He says he wants to make
mixed personality disorder? What does that mean? Like your personality. I don't know what that means.
That's... Okay. He says he wants to make up for his mistake with me, but all the while he was having unprotected sex.
What? Mm-hmm. Okay, and let me just throw in here that I don't think he was going to a psychiatrist at all. That's probably when he was visiting Cheyenne or whatever her name is.
Right. That's his psychiatrist.
Yeah, and she said, just tell her you have a mixed personality disorder. I use that one all the time.
Yeah. I doubt he'll ever stop lying to me because he always has. I can't spend the rest of my life looking over my shoulder because this has happened before, although not to this extent.
Mm-hmm.
He said,
speaking of double takes, wild takes,
he said he just led a double life and he doesn't want to do it anymore.
By double life, cheating. Cheating is not considered a double life.
He admitted he did it because he never thought he would get caught.
Are you kidding me? This guy doesn't even have the wherewithal to know that he has to apologize. He's like, look, I only was fucking somebody else for 20 years because I didn't think you'd find out.
Yeah. During this long affair, he was brazen, arrogant, and abusive to me. Now he wants to be attentive, but he makes me sick. What do I do?
I have an idea.
Signed off by Can't Trust Him in New Jersey. And says, dear Can't Trust Him, only you can decide that, but in order to do it rationally, without anger or vengefulness.
Well, excuse me? Yeah. Stop. Hold on. Wait a minute. We need as much anger and vengeance. This guy has been sleeping with someone who claims to be a prostitute and a strip dancer. He was having unprotected sex with her, but now we're supposed to put on the kid gloves.
Right. Yeah. And if you don't do this without the anger or vengefulness, then it's not valid.
Yeah.
I'm advising you to make up your mind after some sessions with a psychologist on your own.
Why does she need to go to a psychologist?
Yeah, right.
There's nothing wrong with her.
Right.
The only problem is instead of kicking him to the curb right away, she's writing you a letter. You should tell her to take this letter, throw it away, and then go back to him and throw him away as well.
That's exactly. What your husband wants at this point is far less important than what you want. And why you would want to continue in a marriage with an abusive philanderer is something only you can answer. So basically, you'll know. You'll know it at some point. Just go to a psychiatrist and then execute without anger or vengefulness.
But that wasn't any kind of response at all. I would say, just lawyer up.
Lawyer up, number
change
one.
Change the locks.
No, money. You get your money, money situated.
Lawyer up. And then go get yourself tested.
Lock it down. Yeah. Hardcore.
Lock everything down.
Yeah.
Not just the house.
And the money.
Yeah, everything.
And your
vajayjay. Everything needs to be shut down pronto. This is terrifying.
It really is because he just has no.
He doesn't care. He was doing it. He got caught, and now he's like,
And he was brazen, arrogant, and abusive all that time. So it wasn't even like.
There's no. The get out.
You're in it. You got nothing out of it while you were in it.
Yeah.
Get out.
It's over. And your kids are. I mean, because some people like to wait until the kids are around, but the kids probably already knew anyway.
Yeah.
And a lot of my friends, like long before their parents got divorced, they're like, mm-hmm. They knew what was going on. This is horrible. SCB said she knows people like this.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh no.
Wow. We need to road show to SCB Center. I'm just happy the doctor is in.
Yeah, right. Give them advice.
Have you written to an columnist and not gotten, sufficient advice back? See us. We will advise on that advice.
And I say do it with anger and vengefulness.
Yes,
you
why
need
not?
That behind you. Don't do it with peace.
Yeah, get an Old Testament with it.
All right.
Make a sacrifice. Burn something. don't wear sandals.
Right. Yeah.
Do what you have to do.
Right.
And then Exodus. Do the whole thing.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. Make a burnt offering.
Yeah. Of him.
Mm-hmm. His stuff.
Yeah.
On the front lawn.
Exactly. Do it waiting to exhale. So I just have a dollar sale. Throw everything out. Burn the house down. Act like you're a black female celebrity and you've been wronged. Just go for it.
There you go.
Yep.
So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much, SCB. And shot glass again.
Right.
Shot glasses for everyone. Very nice. So what do you have?
I have some celebrity shill.
Oh, good Lord. I mentioned briefly before the show, I saw Brooke Shields shilling for a Lazy Boy. And my husband commented that he thought it was BS that she's sitting around a Lazy Boy barefoot. And I said the BS part is that she's looking at scripts because it's not happening.
Nobody's giving her a script.
No one sent her a script. It was 10 scripts, too.
She's looking over the old Blue Lagoon.
Yes.
I don't, and I like her, too.
She's
from my area.
She is? She's from Hoboken?
No. From Bergen County.
Oh, Bergen County. Big ups.
Yeah. So, and I remember she was the Calvin Klein model. It was a big
deal.
Wasn't
she naked when she was 8?
something.
That
I don't
always
know.
Creeped me out. You remember being a little girl and seeing models almost your age and being like, this isn't, I wouldn't take off my top.
Yeah.
I'm in eighth grade.
Right.
And get your eyebrows waxed. Okay, so what do you have? Celebrity Shill.
Yeah, this is what we have here is Iggy Pop and Swift Cover.
So Celebrity Shill is when we find celebrities out there who are just shilling, selling for the gelda for some company, and we like to put it out there and let you know about it. So Iggy Pop, really?
Iggy Pop.
Who would sign him up?
All right, you know, Iggy Pop
is a heroin.
I looked up Iggy Pop, born James Newell Osterberg Jr.
Okay.
April 21st, 1947,
folks. Get out. He still looks good.
Yeah, look at him.
It looks like his skin is like tightly stretched across his body.
Oh, but very taunt, just muscles. There's not an ounce of fat on him. Yeah, he's an American singer, songwriter, musician, actor, and he's known as the godfather of punk rock.
Okay, the godfather?
The godfather of punk rock, yeah.
We're the redheaded stepchildren of podcasting.
Yeah, yeah. It became known as Iggy in high school, and he was a drummer for a blues band called the Iguanas.
Okay.
And the vocalist for a proto-punk band, the Stooges.
That's right.
So here we are. And so
now,
he's outrageous. He's known for being unpredictable. His stage antics, he was this outrageous.
Is it Kit Kat? Who's he shilling for?
Swift Cover.
Excuse me? What's Swift Cover? Is this a cleaning product?
Swift Cover.
Or eye makeup? What is it?
It's car insurance.
Are you fucking kidding me? Car insurance?
Yeah, and it's, I think it's in the UK. It's
Does
car
he
insurance.
Does he even know he's shilling for them?
Yeah, and there was a...
car insurance.
Yeah, for fast quotes, more me time is their slogan. So, like, you get on... And you'd get, like Swift Cover, you do a lot of comparison quotes for car insurance, and then you have more time for yourself and to rock out in your car.
Oh, that's definitely punk and hardcore.
And
ad
has Iggy Pop and a puppet of himself.
Oh my God.
Driving and rocking out.
The metaphor is weird for me right now.
It's the strangest thing. It upset his fan base, music lovers.
I would guess so.
He was mocked from pundits and punters alike. But it was a success. The insurers reported a 31% increase.
Really? Are they sure it's just not from having a commercial, period? Because that can work, too. Right. There's commercials with, like, little animated characters that no one's ever heard of before.
Yeah.
Wow, he must need the money. It's just such an odd thing. You would think, like, Red Bull or...
something else like that. Look at him.
Steroids.
He wears low-rise jeans with a belt.
Extremely low-rise.
Yeah.
The belt is actually just like a cod piece at this point.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and so he's doing that, and it's such a drastic.
How did they even come up with that? They were who can we get? Lou Reed? No. David Bowie? No.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's auto insurance. So
you want to take care.
Yeah,
you
want to
be.
Pop.
You don't want you want your risks to be covered.
Yeah, Godfather of punk.
Yeah,
that's who I think of.
I think
what happens to people
when I think staying safe. I think Iggy Pop.
I do too.
Okay, Celebrity Shill.
That's so bizarre.
Yeah.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
What do you have? What's going on?
Would you want to give me an introduction for the discount celebrity? Stop looking.
Oh, yeah. We like to surprise each other with what we bring in. This is celebrity discount. This is, money's tight and times are hard. And if you're trying to make a film in Hollywood, you can't always get your A-lister. You just can't.
Yeah.
Just don't even try.
Sometimes they're busy. Sometimes you're broke as shit.
That's right. So we here at Hey You Know It will provide you with your B, C, D lister because we want to make sure that you...
you can get those films made.
Exactly.
And at or under budget.
And so here to perform Celebrity Discount...
is me.
Jaquetta.
So I have two gentlemen here that I'll give you the A-lister... The A-lister is James Franco. Now, we've mentioned him before.
As
a part of, I think, of Matthew McConaughey? Part of someone?
A part of Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, that's right. As a piece, he was one-third of Jeff Goldblum.
Right.
So now we're giving you James Franco today as the A-lister. So he was born in 1978 in California. His birth name is James Edward Franco. His nicknames are Ted and Teddy.
What?
I don't know where they got those from. He's 5'10¾", also known as 1.8 meters. So I'll take it because I guess the meters is the important thing here, not the 3/4 of an inch.
Okay.
He's best known for his breakout role in Freaks and Geeks. Do you remember that show? It was on for a minute.
I remember the show, but I didn't know he was all about that.
He was like the dirtbag guy with the thin mustache. He was supposed to be sexy, I guess, like the sexy
hot
guy.
Like a high schooler?
Yeah, they're all high schoolers.
Okay.
And he's playing like kind of a tough kind of high schooler. And that show tanked after a season, but now it's like a cult classic. It's not bad. It's not bad. That's about, like, growing up in the 70s. So, he was born in California. He has two younger brothers. Who cares about them? He went to UCLA. when he got there, he started taking acting because he was shy. And he thought he would overcome his shyness. Lo and behold, drops out of school, much to his parents' dismay. And he decides to study at Robert Carnegie's Playhouse West. So he's studying acting, and then he lands the role in Freaks and Geeks.
Oh.
And that's the beginning, kind of his career.
Wow.
It's pretty amazing.
So he's like, I'm making a decision.
Yeah.
And he went with it.
He'd been working steadily, and no one really paid any attention to him until he did the TNT made-for-TV movie, James Dean.
Oh.
Which makes sense, because he kind of looks like James Dean.
All right.
Right? So after that, everyone was like, he's so sexy, he's so hot. Robert De Niro saw him. And said he's hot and sexy. And he cast him in City by the Sea.
Okay.
Like, personally, just from seeing his performance on that.
It was like, excuse me, to the casting director. Had a question.
Check out this TNT movie. Check out this made-for-TV movie with this guy.
But you're the casting director, and you're like, oh, right, Robert De Niro.
Yeah, I got to do what you want.
All right.
So then he got a role, his big role as Harry Osborn, which is Spider-Man's best friend in the Spider-Man reboot. He wanted to be Spider-Man, but they said no.
He's too slow-moving.
Mm-hmm. Also, he's not, I think Tobey Maguire is more believable as like a Peter Parker type of person.
Right,
like,
right,
there's
right.
No, like putting a pair of glasses on James Franco
is not
going to,
yeah.
You know? It's like, did anyone order a pizza?
Yeah.
Did anyone need math?
Bang, chicken. Oh,
math
no.
Homework help.
Wow, wow. So that was, did you like my
no, some Peter Frampton wah-wah paddle. Barrel chicka barrel. All right. I'll take it. So he then went on to be in Milk. I don't know if you saw that. He was really, really good in that.
I thought you were going to say MILF.
No. It's Milk. About Harvey Milk.
Okay.
If he wore
glasses, he could be in the porn version, MILF.
MILF, right. He wore, he did not wear glasses. See, you throw me off. Damn you. Shit. I'm going to have to start all over again.
James Franco was born in California.
No, not from there. So he was in Freaks and Geeks, Spider-Man, City by the Sea. He played the lead in Sunny. He was in Tristan and Isolde, Annapolis, The Wicker Man, which is De Grobman. But he plays Bar Guy number one.
Oh.
He was in Finishing the Game, The Search for New Bruce Lee.
What?
The Valley of Elah.
Oh, movie. Sure.
That Knights and Rodante, but okay. He's uncredited in that.
Oh.
He played Allen Ginsberg in Howl, and he was the hot guy in Eat, Pray, Love, and he was the guy in 127 Hours, the guy who got stuck in a crack.
I saw that, yeah.
Did he die at the end?
No, he cut off his arm and lived.
Oh, well, what was the deal?
Because he cut off his own arm with a butter knife.
But he was the one who put himself down the crack in the first place.
Well, he fell.
Oh, he
he fell. No, he was down there, and then a rock fell on him. It was very sad.
What was he doing down there?
It was just a day hike.
Wow, that went off, didn't it?
Yeah.
That went really bad.
Yeah, it was unfortunate.
this is a very silly podcast. He was in Rise of the Planet of the Apes. He played Will Rodman.
That's right.
The scientist. He was on General Hospital for a couple of years as a character called Franco. His mom was also on that.
That's gross.
And then he's known for his one-sided smile.
What?
Yeah. Also known as a crooked smile. They're trying to put like a nice, you know, a sheen on it.
That makes it seem like his personality's off. One-sided.
He tends to play characters with a troubled past or life. And then it says he often plays real life characters.
Okay.
So interesting thing about James Franco is he's probably one of the most, like, he goes to school all the time. So he was going to school forever. He went back to UCLA. He did extra credits there. He has a BFA from UCLA. He has two MFAs, one from Brooklyn College, one from Columbia, and a third MFA in film. I don't know when he did these, because he's been working pretty steadily.
When he was hosting the Oscars, he was taking classes at the same time. And that's why he stood on stage and smiled.
Really?
Because he was like, he wasn't
exhausted.
Even here for rehearsal.
He also was teaching a graduate class as well.
At
NYU in acting for film.
Okay.
And one of the projects he has coming up is it's basically a film students project that he's working on. So that's actually kind of cool.
That is.
He really gets prepared for a role. He did a pilot's license to be in Flyboys. He also worked at Lockheed Martin. Nothing to do with the role, but he's apparently like an amazing mathematician.
What?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
He's got it all going on.
Okay.
So his personal quotes are about finding time to relax. And you're not going to be surprised by this. Never.
All right.
It's an impossibility. I don't even like to sleep. I feel as if there's too much to do.
Okay.
And he's looking for a girl that he can relate to artistically and who can be understanding and supportive of the demands of his lifestyle. So, you know, stand behind James Franco.
Right.
And he plays gay characters a lot. And I like this quote. It's funny because of the way stuff is talked about on blogs. It's so black and white, cut and dry. Is he gay or is he straight? And he talks about it a little bit more. And he says, part of what I'm interested in is how these people who are living in anti-normative lifestyles contended with opposition. Or, you know what? Maybe I'm just gay. I like that.
I love it.
Plays, you think about that when actors were playing a gay character. That's hard. It's hard to be romantic.
Yeah.
Period. But to be romantic, if you're a straight person and you're trying to do a gay role, it's probably really hard and, like, awkward to not make it real.
Well, think about all the gay actors who were in the closet throughout, you know, Hollywood history that
making
had to be, like,
real. Had
you know,
kiss ladies and were like, ugh.
Rock Hudson?
Yeah. What a nightmare for him. So he's got, he's the A-lister, and right now coming up, he has in 2013 a movie called Interior Leather Bar.
Woof.
Where he reimagines 40 Minutes from Cruising. The film.
Okay.
As a starting point on a broader exploration of sexual and creative freedom.
All
so
right.
Maybe he'll know at the end if he's gay or not. He's right now in Oz, The Great and Powerful, which I heard was Oz, The Long and Boring.
Oh, you know what? He really phoned it in. There was like...
he's busy.
I know. That's why I'm saying he's got to put down either the calculator or the syllabus and focus on his acting. Because it was like, look.
Yeah, he's also going to be playing Hugh Hefner in the 2013 Lovelace, which is a story
of Linda
that. Lovelace.
I could see that.
But he's playing him as the dick that he was.
Okay.
This is from Linda Lovelace's point of
Good.
View. She was abused by him.
Oh.
You know, it was a nightmare.
Really? What, I didn't know that. I didn't know this.
That's with Amanda Seyfried and Peter Sarsgaard. And
oh, if Peter Sarsgaard's in it, you know gonna it, there's going to be some wiener.
There,
totally.
You know, wiener.
Yeah.
And he's also going to be in a movie called Child of God. A violent, prone loner moves to the mountains of Tennessee and lives in a cave. He's in Black Dog, Red Dog, which is a NYU graduate student project with Olivia Wilde, Mila Kunis, Chloe Sevigny, and Whoopi Goldberg.
This is an NYU project?
Yeah. Well, he's attached all these people to it.
Well, you know.
Then he's going to be in...
Could you imagine, like, the zitty... college student like now that has to deal with
well, can you imagine how big their head is going to be? They wouldn't even be able to get into a Daniel Day-Lewis's hat when they're done with this. He's also going to be in As I Lay Dying, which is based on the Faulkner story. I already fell asleep for this one. He wrote the screenplay, and he's going to be in a film directed by Paul Haggis, who did Crash and Casino Royale.
Okay.
And it's like three interlocking love stories. You know, one of these things where like everybody and their mother is in a camera swirling all over the place. We don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
So, he is our A-lister. And I don't really care for him either way. But the reason why I bring him up is so I can bring up Ryan Gosling, who I like.
Oh, you know, I like him too.
I just saw Blue Valentine.
You did?
It
okay.
was really, really, really good.
Yeah.
He's really sweet. It seems like he plays vulnerable characters.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why in a second.
All right.
Born in 1980 in London, Ontario, Canada as Ryan Thomas Gosling. No nickname. Just
That's
the way it.
It
is. He's 6.5
inch.
No, not 6.5 inch. 6 feet and 1/2 inch. 1.84 meters
yeah, okay.
tall. He was, he's the second of two children, and his family, it seems like he grew up kind of poor. He was homeschooled because he was getting teased so much at school they had to pull him out.
Teased? Why was he getting teased?
Well, probably because when he was younger, he thought he was muscular, and he once got into a red Speedo at age 8, started flexing. He said he thought he looked good.
Oh.
So this is one of these kind of kids.
Oh, no.
He first performed as a singer in talent contest with his older sister, and then he did an open audition in Montreal for the Mickey Mouse Club in 1989. In 1993, and he beat out 17,000 other people
wow.
for the role. It's amazing.
Well, he could put on a Speedo nowadays.
Yeah,
nobody's gonna laugh.
But that sensibility still stays with him. He always plays these characters that just kind of get shit on.
Yeah.
You know, which is why I like him. He was on the Mickey Mouse Club for 2 years, and he lived with Justin Timberlake's family a little bit.
Oh.
He also was one of the only people not to live on the lot. He lived in a trailer park with his family, and he supported his family because they were broke.
Jesus.
Yeah. He has no formal acting training.
Okay.
His first serious or critical attention came when he played a Jewish neo-Nazi in 2001 in a film called The Believer, which was obviously controversial because,
I mean, really, yeah, right?
A Jewish neo-Nazi. Then he was in the 2004 The Notebook, which I'm sure you saw.
I saw it. Of course I saw it.
I saw it on
the bus. It was beautiful.
A tearjerker.
Why were you on
a
bus?
Sleeper. Gone AC. And they were like, who wants to see The Notebook? And a bunch of white women raised their hands. And we were all like, no. He often plays quiet, emotionally distant characters. And every time I see him, he looks like he's about to cry.
He does. And he was in, what was it? The Crazy Stupid Love. And I love that.
He was really good in that as well. He is also an accomplished jazz guitarist. And I went to his website. He's got a song up there. It's all right. Whatever. He dated Sandra Bullock for about a year when they met on the set.
No.
Yeah. And in the movie, The Notebook, he made the table in the kitchen.
Did he really?
Yeah. His favorite movie is East.
Well, he was
Eden.
Supposed to have made the whole house. So
well,
he had to make a table. He had to do something.
Yeah. He's not Daniel Day-Lewis. He can't make his living knocking out tables. So he and his two friends opened a Moroccan restaurant in Beverly Hills. He dated Rachel McAdams twice.
Twice.
But she broke it off twice.
Jesus.
Just like in his movies. He always tries to get with someone. It never works out. In 2005, he traveled to Chad and made a documentary on the Darfur refugees living there. And also, the film that made a big impression on him was Blue Velvet. Now, what does that tell you?
Mm.
He's got issues, right? His personal quotes are, I always wanted to entertain. Like, when I was six, a scrawny kid, I'd get in my red Speedo and do muscle moves. I actually thought I was muscular. I didn't know people were laughing at me.
Aww.
And it says, you know how sometimes department stores have these things where if you win, you get 10 minutes to go in and take everything you want from the store? That's basically what I'm doing. I'm running in and trying to grab as many characters as possible before they pull the plug
Good,
on me.
Right?
Good for him.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Jason Statham, who was like, I came from obscurity and I'm not afraid to go back.
Right.
His acting hero is Gene Wilder.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, he said, Gene Wilder is my Marlon Brando. Wilder will break your heart and make you laugh at the same time, and that's deep. So it was pretty cool. And then his last quote, which made me really like him, says, when I'm down in the dumps, nothing gets my toes a-tapping.
Oh, he did
like
not.
Like putting on my old MC Hammer pants. And they still fit, even though my aunt made them for me when I was 8. But that's the genius of MC Hammer. They still fit. I'll never know how he got into money problems. He's a genius. So,
oh my God, I like him.
He started in 1995. He did a lot of TV stuff. He did Remember the Titans, The Believer, Slaughter Rule, Murder by Numbers, then The Notebook. And he got Half Nelson, which he plays a high school teacher with a drug habit.
Oh.
He makes friends with one of the kids. It's a
and then they
movie.
Wrestle?
I don't think they wrestle.
Oh.
I think Half Nelson might refer to something else in the film.
Okay.
He looked like this kind of like white person in the inner city.
Okay.
Kind of thing.
And then they taught each other a lesson, and then the kids taught him how to rap.
Exactly.
Okay.
Or dance.
Yeah.
Or play basketball.
Okay.
He was in Lars and the Real Girl, which about this guy who falls in love with a
doll.
I
saw some of that.
How was that?
I really need to go back and watch the whole thing.
Everyone raves about it.
Yeah.
Then he was in Blue Valentine. All Good Things, Crazy Stupid Love, Drive, where he plays a stuntman who tries to help someone and gets screwed. Ides of March, where he plays a presidential staffer with Paul Giamatti and George Clooney. He also gets screwed in that Place Beyond the Pines. He's a motorcycle stunt rider. He gets screwed again.
I mean,
he just keeps getting screwed. Gangster Squad gets screwed.
Oh, my God.
What he has coming up, though, is an untitled Terrence Malick project with Ryan Gosling and Christian Bale.
Oh, get out.
And
oh,
Natalie
that's like
Portman.
You're in heaven. Yeah. You're in heaven.
Then he's going to be in another one called Only God Forgives. And I looked at the cover of this. He's all busted up.
Nice.
He's a Bangkok police lieutenant and a gangster settle their differences in a Thai boxing match.
Cool.
With Kristen Scott Thomas.
When you said busted up, did you mean beat up or buff?
No, like his face looks like somebody went 10 rounds on him.
Oh, because I said, oh, cool. I thought you meant he was...
So he is clearly not the A-lister because he's not getting enough heat.
I don't know.
But I'm saying I like him. I think his performances are solid. And I would like to see every role that's being offered to James Franco taken away from James Franco and being given to Ryan Gosling.
That's what I'm going for, too. I agree with you. And I think that Ryan Gosling can surpass him very quickly.
Yes.
So given like where they stand now, mm-hmm. what would your discount be? And if he starts...
Ramping it up,
what would it be?
It's hard because James Franco is so prolific and he's really working with big names
mm-hmm.
and he's kind of calling the shots a lot for himself because he's so way up there. So I'm going to say that you could probably get Ryan Gosling just because he's not as hot for like 30% off. However, I think that in terms of the quality, I'm going to say that Gosling is giving me 100% quality.
Okay.
He's giving me
very
James
nice.
Franco quality, but he's a little bit cheaper. So that makes him a great discount.
Oh, God.
Because you're getting good quality at a low, low price.
But when you're saying hot, you're meaning like heat.
Yes, I mean heat, like studios.
Studio heat, not attractive ones. Because I know like a lot of women would be like, Ryan Gosling is more attractive than
exactly,
Mr.
Yeah.
Franco.
I'm talking about studio heat.
Okay.
But the fact that for me, what really... like puts it together is he's starring in a film with Christian Bale.
Okay.
It's too bad about the whole Natalie Portman thing. Maybe the studio can block the movie out so we don't have to see her.
Yeah. Right.
But he's going to be in a film with Christian Bale. So there you go, people.
All right.
Ryan Gosling, James Franco.
And what was the percentage?
We're giving 30% off.
30% off.
30% off.
Very nicely done.
Thank you very much.
Yay.
Thank you. We like to report on apps every once in a while.
Oh, we do.
Coms.
We do.
This one I saw on Fox News, so you know it's fair and balanced. new Playboy iPhone app, safe for work.
No.
Sort of. Yeah, so this is a new iPhone app from Playboy, and it says that it foregoes racy photos of beautiful women in favor of other content that people might have skimmed. Isn't that
what?
The whole point?
That's the whole point is to look at nudies.
Yeah, tasteful nudes.
Okay.
This is like softcore.
Girl next door.
I don't know if you, the last time I saw a Playboy, they're like wearing more clothes than you would see like a Dominican Pride parade. Like everything is like covered up. So they're going to have lifestyle articles about travel, clothes, food, booze, and more.
What do you need the Playboy app
for? I don't
know. Why don't you get a travel app? Or
exactly. It's going to be, but will a travel app give you original, thought-provoking, and enticing bite-sized content that captures design-driven and discernible style? I mean, really?
Yeah.
This is going to be for Gen Y people who said they enjoy the artisanal good life in modern culture. Playboy. People
Playboy brings
boobs.
You... Yeah.
Like...
The artisanal.
Yeah. And it says here, but the App Store, so they're having a hard time because, you know, the Apple does not allow you to have any racy content on it. Because Steve Jobs said, folks who want porn can buy an Android phone. And they are.
Yeah.
Like in droves.
Yeah.
They're going nuts for it. Content includes non-nude pictorials and original life. Non-nude girls. Who's
I'm just saying, like, I'm not downloading, like, nude photos of anyone. But I'm just saying, if you were want to do that, you...
It's out there.
You why and you want it, the Playboy look... You need to download your Playboy pictures.
I don't, but what I'm understanding here is that they think that there's guys on the subway who all of a sudden want a non-nude photograph of a woman next to an article about like cheese and beer. Like that's high class. It's bizarre to me.
It's very weird.
Like Playboy, just stick to what you know.
Yeah, right. Don't try to.
Nude women. That's what Playboy is known
for. I know. We'll take out the nudity of Playboy and it'll be a success.
Yes.
Okay.
They can just get down to it.
Yeah.
They're saying it's Playboy 2.0. I'm like, everyone else is on like 6.5 already.
Oh, good
so,
Lord.
You want to close out?
Yeah.
And where's the Playgirl app, by the way?
Right.
What happened to that magazine?
It'll be a guy in pants.
Yes.
What am I going to do with that?
A guy in pants making pancakes.
Right. All right. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We will read it on the air regardless of content.
And listen to us on Stitcher Radio. Download your Stitcher apps from Stitcher.com.
That's right.
Also free.
And if you contact us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com or leave us that 5-star review, we will give you the official Hey You Know It shot glass.
Yep.
FOC.
Yep.
Free of charge.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And all the people grunting and like throwing weights around.
Well, side note, there was a young man who was lifting way too much weight and he was.
Did he fall backwards and get pinned?
He was like, he was just shaking and, you know, he just, you know, let a few rip.
Was it? Oh, no. Was anyone spotting him?
No, nobody was.
And had to run away?
Nobody was, but okay. I came down and it was like a cloud. I'm like, you know what?
Oh, God. No. That's an occupational hazard right there. Okay,
find? Not only am I dedicated to my workouts at the gym, going in there and enjoying
Katie's
that.
She's quite buff, people.
That's right.
You can hear it in her voice just a little bit, but don't mess with her.
That's right.